Hello, this is Roger Schaus, and this is Jumpstart Rewind. This is part of our Heaven Bound podcast family. We are going through one of our Jumpstart booklets, The Rich Man and Lazarus. This is a continuation of that booklet. Luke 16, verse 23, "In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I'm in agony in this flame.'" We continue our journey through the story of the rich man and Lazarus as told by the Lord in Luke 16. Only Luke records this story. This is the only detailed picture of what life is like after death. Without this, we are left with questions and curiosity and wild speculations. In our last podcast, we talked about how both men died. That's not the end of the story. That is where most movies end. Luke takes us beyond the grave to that place where the living cannot see. He showed us the world of Hades. Hades is not hell. Older translations, such as the King James Version, do not use the word Hades. They use the word hell. There are different words in the original, and they have different meanings. Hell is the final destination and the eternal destination of the ungodly. Those whose names are not in the book of life will be cast into hell. Hell takes place after Jesus returns. The dead are raised, and the judgment takes place. Hell is still in the future. Hell hasn't happened yet. Hades, meaning the unseen world, is a place that the dead go until Jesus comes. Hades contains Abraham's bosom as well as torment. Both men in our story went to Hades, just different parts of Hades. As Jesus died upon the cross, he promised the penitent thief that he would be with him today in paradise. Paradise is what Luke tells us is the same thing as Abraham's bosom. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 2 that Jesus' body would not suffer decay and so was not abandoned to Hades. That's our word again, Abraham's bosom, paradise. They're all a part of Hades. So both men died, the rich man and Lazarus. Their bodies were buried and their souls went to Hades. The rich man was in agony. He was in flame. He was hurting. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. He was comforted, loved, and accepted. Two different places, two different outcomes, determined by their choices in life. Their souls would remain there until the coming of the Lord. There are some interesting things our text reveals. First, they both felt. The rich man felt misery, pain, and agony. Lazarus felt comfort. There's a sense of recognition. The rich man knew Abraham. He knew Lazarus. He requested that Lazarus be sent on a mission to bring some water. Those souls were not ambiguous, cloud-like spirits that had no identity. The rich man did not call Abraham Lazarus. He recognized the difference. Also, as Luke continues Jesus' story, Abraham responds to the rich man and reminds him, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' bad things." Remember. There's a memory after death. The rich man remembered that he had been rich. Later in the text, he remembers that he had five brothers. He remembered their moral condition because he feared that they're going to end up exactly where he was. There are things after death that we still remember. You will remember if you're married. You remember if you had children. You remember good things or bad things. You will remember. Also, the rich man had wishes. First of all, he wanted some water. That couldn't be given. Next, he wanted to warn his brothers about the awful torment of Hades. He didn't ask to go back, but instead he asked to send Lazarus to be sent back. In our modern times, Lazarus would have gone back and written a book about these things and all the things he saw and felt. A movie might have been made based upon that book. That's the flavor of the month these days. But that didn't happen in the Bible. Lazarus wasn't sent back. No word was sent back. Abraham declares that the brothers have all that they need to avoid that awful torment. They have Moses and the prophets. They have the Bible. That's all that one needs. But the rich man knows his brothers. He knows that they won't pay attention to the Bible. He knows that they're too busy, too stubborn, too much like he was. If a resurrected person came back and warned them, they would change. That request was denied. Not going to happen. No messages from the dead to the living. What we see in this picture is that after death, we are not sleeping. We see that the dead have not ceased to exist. We see that both the righteous and the unrighteous were alive. They felt, they knew, they desired, and they understood. All that a person is, except for the physical body, continues on. Nothing has changed except a location and what they can now do. A couple of thoughts for us. First, this tells us that not everyone is saved. The rich man was in torments, fire and agony. His life was a terror. It seems that these days that everyone is preaching to heaven. Folks that never darkened a church building. Folks that lived wild and reckless lives. Folks that were mean and selfish and abusive. Everyone, it seems, goes to heaven these days. Heaven is viewed as a giant party, a rock and roll place, playing golf, eating chocolates, fishing, and having a good old time. That's the concept most people have of heaven. Current statistics indicate that 81% of Americans believe in heaven. However, a huge number believe in heaven that do not believe in God. That's very odd, and that's not biblical. Without God, there is no heaven. God is in heaven, Jesus tells us. Jesus says that the road to destruction is wide and crowded. More won't make it than those who do make it. And why? Just like the rich man, it's the choices in life. No time for Moses and the prophets. No time for Jesus. Don't like rules, don't like being pure and holy, would rather live it up and take chances. Mark Twain reportedly said that he liked heaven for the climate and hell for the company. Really? Look at the rich man in this context. Nothing good could be said about his condition. No water, no prayers, no mercy. Stuck, trapped, lost, hopeless, and helpless. Not everyone is going to heaven. God doesn't determine it, we do. We do by our hearts, we do by our choices, we do by our walk in life. The rich man was lost because he didn't want to be saved. His choices put him on a dead-end path to destruction. Second, we must be careful in telling folks that their loved one is better off now after they've died. So many will say, at least their suffering has ended. You can't say that about the rich man in this story. His suffering was only worse after he died. And again, we need to see that he wasn't better off. He was in the worst possible way. Death is a gain, as Paul defined it, for the righteous. For those who choose God, death is not something to be feared nor dreaded. Death opens the door so we can go home to God. Now here's another thought. The picture of the rich man reminds us that life doesn't end at our death. Suicide doesn't end our misery. Suicide throws us into eternity and places us in a world where we no longer have options and hope or a chance to change things. Suicide is never the answer. It makes our problems greater than God. It gives up on God. It throws a towel in on life and too often is not thought out, nor, as this passage is considered, showing us the consequences of such decisions. The rich man was not better off after he died. His suffering had not ended. The picture from Luke 16 reminds us that death is only a doorway into the next room. Death is just the opposite of birth. With birth, a living person moves from the unseen world of the womb into the room of the living. With death, a person moves from this world into the room of Hades. They are alive. They know. They remember. All that has happened is that they have simply switched rooms. The womb is different than the world we live in. Hades is different than the world we now live in. Each room has limitations. Each room is different. In the room of the living, that's where we now are. That's where we have choices and freedoms. In Hades, that all changes. The rich man wanted water, but he couldn't have any. He wanted word sent back to his family, and that wasn't allowed. He probably wasn't used to being told no. He certainly wasn't used to flames and agony and torment. His world had changed. There was no going back. There are no do-overs. There are no mulligans. There are no second chances once we've switched rooms. Now is the time for salvation. Now is the time to make the right choices. Now is the time for God. This story is told by Jesus as a warning. No one has to be where the rich man is. Jesus wanted the selfish, arrogant Pharisees to see what was awaiting them if they did not change. Jesus wants us to see the same thing. The passage ought to scare us. It ought to drop us to our knees now and beg for the mercy of God. It ought to make us open our eyes to the ways of our God. It ought to bring us to a positive and godly change in our lives. To ignore this is to do exactly what the rich man did. He ignored Moses and the prophets. He took his chances. He did what he wanted to do. It cost him his soul, and what a terrible, terrible mistake that was. We can do better. We can do what's right. We can do this by simply following what the Bible says. Can we help you? Would you like to have a Bible study? Would you like to talk about these things? You do not have to follow the rich man's steps. God gives us hope. God gives us chance, but we must act upon them. If we can be of any help, please reach out to us. And thank you so much for listening.